Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. There's more than one way to offer cuisine-flavored television. Gusto TV is the newest 24/7 way domestically, presented through smart TV set and TV-connected devices. President and Chief Executive Officer Chris Knight joins me next from Ottawa, Canada. In just half a decade, Series Fest has evolved into one of the largest and impactful television festivals anywhere. Round 5 kicked off this morning with organizers calling Fest 2019 the Year of Innovation. We're going live to Denver next half hour and join the action in progress with Program Director Claire Taylor. Also ahead, some news of quickies and NYU on the TV March. Happy start of summer 2019, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. We hope wherever you are, your summer is off to a great start. 70 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. And lo and behold, after a lot of rain early in the morning, the sun has finally come out. Hopefully it will stay throughout the first summer weekend of this year. Glad you're with us for the program about television. Some wonderful guests coming your way from Canada and elsewhere in these United States over the next hour. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Another way you get involved is our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. 3 people are right in the room, so put your comments right there or give us a ring. Either way, we will get to you. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Chris Knight from Gusto TV joins us live from Ottawa after these news notes quickies. A mixed outcome of viewership for ABC's pair of new competition series last night. Holy Moly, the supersized Major Golf Hour brought in more than 4.8 million viewers. Family Food Fight up against Spin the Wheel on Fox drew 2.9 million watchers. Spin, by the way, picked up 3.4 million viewers. And Andrew Glassman, the executive producer with Justin Timberlake of that show, was on our program this past Monday. You can get a replay of it at blogtalkradio.com/televised, our homepage. Serengeti, Discovery Channel's nature miniseries from American Idol producer Simon Fuller and narrated by Oscar Lupita Nyong'o, opens August 4th. An HBO late-night milestone happens tonight, episode 500 of Real Time with Bill Maher, while on HBO launched Real Time 16 years ago. And Total Bellas will get a 5th season of episodes on E! Next year. Well, one more news note after our Series Fest interview from Denver next half hour. But right now joining us from Ottawa, Canada, is the President and Chief Executive Officer of Gusto TV and its parent Gusto Worldwide Media, Chris Knight. Chris, thanks for coming aboard.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. It was 6 years ago that you put together Gusto TV with your colleagues. Why'd you do it?
Well, I've been a television producer for over 20 years. God, I can't believe I just admitted that. And while our production company had done all sorts of programming, scripted, unscripted, for a variety of broadcasters around the world, food was always my personal passion. And, you know, around 2009 when the economy went 2008, 2009 when the economy went into the tank, you also saw, sort of a perfect storm happening around then with the consolidation of media all over the world. That was equally true in Canada as is in the United States. And what we found was there was less and less money, and broadcasters were requiring more and more rights for smaller and smaller license fees. And I didn't see the future in remaining an independent producer who's, you know, life pretty much depended on the vagaries of whatever a given broadcaster wanted at the moment. Also, at the same time, food programming was, you know, really, really popular, and we felt that there was an alternative, room in the market for an alternative to the choices that consumers had at the time. So, and this is all before OTT and everything, where we launched conventionally on cable and satellite and a little bit on IPTV, but we went out and set about creating Gusto as an alternative and launched here, as you said, about 6 years ago as a linear pay television channel. And now, of course, we're all over the place in the United States and Europe and Asia.
How does Gusto separate itself from the other cuisine food networks out there, the Food Network, Cooking Channel, and other players? It seems when you read your website that the big thing is it's more sort of millennial-focused, Gen X, Gen Y-focused, and you have a lot of shows that deal with individual cuisines as opposed to the type of competition shows or how to cook things that you find elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's a great question. And actually, you know, it's very prescient of you. We have stayed away from contests and game shows, largely because Food Network does it and does it almost exclusively. So as they sort of migrated in that direction with their programming, they kind of abandoned, you know, the sort of traditional food programming, food shows, cooking shows, travel shows, the sort of programming that made food popular in the first place. So we didn't see the point in going to all this trouble just to do what, you know, our competition has been doing and doing well for 15 years. We felt that there was room in the market for an alternative. And because we were new, we also had the advantage of looking what everybody else was doing, not just Food Network, but, you know, all sorts of specialty channels, and taking best practices and throwing everything else out. So we always built Gusto to be a global brand. We have a saying here at Gusto that food is the one true global language, and at Gusto, we speak all dialects. And so, you know, our shows celebrate culture as much as they celebrate food. They talk about stories and make emotional connections through things that are important to anyone, whether you're living in New York or New Delhi. And you know, at the end of the day, chances are you're going to go home and you're going to sit down and you're going to share your day with somebody that you love, and there's going to be a meal involved. And when somebody gets married or dies or there's a baby born, no matter where you are in the world, someone's going to pass around a cheese plate. Food is central to our lives, and that was sort of the cornerstone to our philosophy. So, you know, we are foodies, and we passionately believe in our subject matter.
Another person just joined our chat room. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. So welcome aboard. Your question or comment for our guest, put it in the room and give us that call, 646-652-2906. Is the programming produced in-house, Chris, or do you go to outside production companies to make it happen?
Another great question. You've done this before. So, you know, because we believe in Gusto as a brand, it's important for us to control or to have influence over all aspects of the brand development. So we do all of our programming ourselves. And when I say that, I mean quite literally from show concept and recipe development all the way through to delivery to platforms all over the world and everything in between. So all production, whether in the field or in here in our state-of-the-art studio, is done in-house. Post-production is done in-house. We have full-time kitchen people here, 1,000-square-foot test kitchen. There's always something going on here in terms of new idea, new cuisines, new opportunities. So we do everything ourselves.
We are speaking with Chris Knight. He is the president and chief executive officer of Gusto TV and its parent Gusto Worldwide Media. Started in Canada 6 years ago and now is running here in the United States, in Europe, and elsewhere on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. So chances are, if you have a smart TV set or a device like Amazon Fire TV, Roku, Chromecast, etc., you can get his service. Join us live from Ottawa, Canada this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Simon Apple with you live from New York. Happy start of summer to you and all. And if you have a question or comment for Chris, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have three more shows to wrap up June for you next week. Coming up on Monday, remember Doc Boots, the award-winning submarine drama, very claustrophobic for Wolfgang Peterson, one of the best World War II dramas ever made. Now it's a miniseries running on Hulu. We've got the executive producer live from Europe. He'll be our lead guest, Marita Poulter. Then, have you ever wanted to create the perfect channel lineup? There is an organization now that can help you do that. It's called Cobblecord. We'll have the founder and chief executive officer of that venture, Virginia Giuliano. And finally, from the brand new Oprah Winfrey Network series, Ambition, starring Robin Givens, that premiered earlier this week, we've got the creator and executive producer, Jamie Giddens. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Chris, what's been the reaction so far from people here in the United States to your venture?
Well, it's been great. You know, the feedback that we've gotten, we're on both in English and in Spanish throughout the United States and now into Latin America. The feedback on the programming you'd mentioned earlier on about the fact that we aim more towards a millennial audience, and that's true. Part luck, part hard work, but we seem to have tapped into a zeitgeist. So, you know, what a lot of people, when everybody's, you know, advertisers and everybody's chasing after that much sought after millennial cohort, what most people don't remember is that the upper end of that cohort, when they go home tonight, you know what they're going to do? They're going to plan their 40th birthdays. The upper end of the millennial cohort is pushing 40. So they have homes. Some of them even have cars. They have babies. They have mortgages. And they're interested in food and cooking and entertaining and being with friends. And millennials also, you know, demographically as a cohort, are interested in all sorts of cultures as well, and travel. And travel that resonates, and food is a big, big part of that, as opposed to going standing in the museum. They're interested in traveling to immerse themselves in culture, and we can bring that to them, and we do bring that to them into their own homes through Gusto.
What are some of the individual series that are particularly hitting home with the zeitgeist?
Yeah, so that's when we launched Gusto, it cost a lot of money to do this, but we were still doing this on a shoestring when we first launched, and we said, what is going to be our first television show that really sets us apart? That's our shout out to the world. And we did a show called One World Kitchen. And One World Kitchen featured young, passionate, articulate millennials representing Venezuelan, Italian, Thai, Japanese, and Indian cuisines. All women, multicultural, just fun and passionate and very, very different, if I could say so, than anything that you've seen on television before. Since then, we've gone on to do Lebanese, Cantonese, Vietnamese, Spain, Portugal, Mexican cuisine. I mean, there's a long, long list. Vegetarian food, fish, a special focus on fish. We do travel programs, but that they focus on food, like a show like DNA Dinners, where we swab you. We find people who are unsure of their heritage and their background, and we swab you, and we do a DNA analysis, and we reveal who you are to you through an exploration of food and the celebration of how your culture celebrates food. And it's been a huge hit wherever we put it on. So those are some of the shows that are really indicative of what we try and do at Gusto.
I did not hear about your service until you were at an event a couple of weeks ago here in New York that was devoted to programming services that are, for the most part, using smart TV sets and smart TV devices as their main way to reach viewers, or their exclusive way to reach viewers. What do you think about the process, about getting distributed that way as opposed to getting distributed on a cable channel or on a broadcast station?
Yeah, no, it's revolutionary. It's a game changer. I mean, as I mentioned earlier on, 6 years ago, literally just 6 years ago when we launched in Canada, we had to bounce the signal off of a satellite in outer space or get into people's homes through a coaxial cable that was drilled into their walls. I mean, there's still place in the world for that, but the accelerated change in technology is breathtaking. You know, in the United States alone, we're on Zumo, Pluto, Distro, Olympusat, Stir, Tubi. We'll be announcing Vudu shortly, and we've just launched on Samsung on their smart televisions. I mean, if you would have asked me 6 years ago and said, hey, Chris, guess what? Somebody in the United States goes to a store, buys a Samsung television, hangs it on their wall, and, doesn't plug it in, just turns on their Wi-Fi, and boom, Gusto is there, I would have taken your drink away from you. I mean, it's really stunning. And I think that this it would never – in the past, we sold our shows to other broadcasters. And now we have the opportunity through the accelerated changes in technology to bring gusto as a brand, our messaging, our love, our passion, as opposed to just individual shows, directly to American consumers on multiple platforms. You can watch us in the back of the car or the back of a plane. And in fact, we say we don't care where you watch us, just as long as you watch us.
Chris, you have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Let's try again. Hang on for a second, everybody. Let's give it another go. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go right ahead. You're on the air. Yes, hi, welcome. It's Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Must be eating something.
Could be. All right, we'll try again in a little bit. We'll see what happens here. And if you'd like to make the call, 646-652-2906, and as soon as we see they're aboard, we will get you on. We have a lot of television festivals here in the United States, one of them being Series Fest. We'll have one of the people from that event coming up live from Denver where they kick things off this morning. Are you looking at perhaps commissioning shows that are produced in the U.S. or looking for new talent at festivals like Series Fest or New York Television Festival, other places that you could tap into your programming?
Absolutely. There's no question. You know, as we've now established ourselves in the United States, we're going to start looking to do programming there as well. This is equally true of Asia. We've been on, you know, in Singapore since August of last year, and we have some more rollout announcements to come in the next couple of weeks. We're on in the UK. We'll have some. So, you know, going back to our ethos of, you know, food is life and we celebrate all cultures, you know, once gusto is established in the particular territory, it's very important for us to localize content and begin shooting programming there. So how do we shoot programming in China and Singapore and make it relevant to an audience in the Florida or Montana? And that's, you know, that goes back to our remaining true to our programming ethos. And so we will be absolutely 100% shooting content in 2020 down in the United States of America. Very much looking forward to it.
Hi, Chris. Let's try this again, see if we can get our person on the line. On the air. Hello, this is Simon Applebaum from Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from?
You have Claire Taylor, Director of Programming from Series Fest here.
Oh, hi, Claire. That's our second guest, Claire Taylor, the Programming Director of Series Fest, live with us in Denver. Claire, did you want to, we have you on early here. Do you want to ask a question of Chris Knight from Gusto TV?
Hey there, this is Claire calling from Denver. Are you making it to the festival this year?
No, actually, unfortunately, I won't be doing that. I'm actually heading the other way. I get on a plane tomorrow, and I'm heading to Budapest for NATPE. We have a bunch of European launches coming up, and it's great to sit down in front of somebody and talk to them face to face.
Totally. Well, we hope to have you as a guest next year.
That would be great. I'd love to. Denver is a great city, and the mighty Denver Broncos are my favorite sports team in the world.
All right. That's awesome. Go Broncos.
And the Denver Nuggets did great, too. Let's not forget them in the recent NBA playoffs. Claire, thanks for calling in early. We're going to talk to you at the bottom of the hour.
Okay, great.
Claire Taylor, Program Director of Series Fest, joining us live from Denver, where that event is now in its first few hours as we speak Rocky Mountain time. Chris, one of the things that smart TV sets and smart TV sets now allow people to do is control the set with their voice because of artificial intelligence like Google Assistant, Siri, and Alexa, but also to perhaps interact with the programming, order products and services on the air, order a product while an advertising for that product is on. Any thoughts about becoming interactive with your content or with your or doing things like commerce, like inviting people to buy merchandise, or do like a Grubhub or a service like that?
Oh, my God, Simon, thank you for asking that question. So, you know, we believe – so if you look at our digital metrics, so when one of our shows goes to air, let's say Flower Power, for example, and then you overlay the digital metrics onto it, we see real-time spikes in our website traffic, gustotv.tv. So people are actually, while they're watching a show, taking out a second screen, going on to GustoTV.tv, clicking on the recipe icon, finding the recipe and downloading it. Now, you know, that's three click-throughs, which is impressive enough. But then people take those ingredients and they go to the grocery store and they buy that food and then they take it home and they cook it for their families. And if your family loves our recipe, we become a part of your life. So right now we create the need, and we've been working very hard for the last year and a half in development in fulfilling that need. So we are starting a full line in e-commerce of products that you see, because food naturally lends itself as a genre to that. So we're going to start rolling out products that you see in the shows on an e-commerce platform starting in the fall. You know, we've published here in Canada 11 best-selling cookbooks, and now that we're starting to be established in the United States, again, you know, as you said, Simon, you only heard of us when we met at the New York event. That's because we've really been on in the United States for about 6 months now, so we're just establishing ourselves. But we've had 11 best-selling cookbooks here, and we're shopping a publishing deal down in the United States for cookbooks. We've also we're also test marketing home delivery of food, finished dishes that you see on Gusto, and we're looking at the high end of the market, so dinner parties for four, shipped to your house fresh, not frozen, four courses for four people, high end dinner party stuff. So for me, that we're fulfilling the need that we create. So we're in a genre that lends itself to, I guess, what in the business we'd call brand extension or verticals. But also it allows us to extend our relationship with our viewers or our subscribers.
Chris Knight from Gusto TV is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. He comes to us live from Ottawa, Canada. The network is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place, as well as services that are carried through smart TV sets and smart devices. And as Chris mentioned, Vudu, the video and answer from Walmart, will be checking some of those programs in the very near future. Have a question or comment for Chris? Give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our second episode of the week next Wednesday, we got a good one for you. Charter's Spectrum Originals, coming off a big success with L.A.'s Finest, got a brand new series that's premiering next week called Curfew, about the world of street racing. We'll have the executive producer, Matthew Reed, the pilot director, Colin McCarthy, will be joining us. And then we'll have some of these work you've seen on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and more recently on the popular Showtime series, our cartoon president. The creator of that series, R.J. Freed, will be with us. That's next Wednesday, special edition at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Chris, is Gusto a subscription service, or do you take ads?
Yeah, it depends on the platform, of course, and the content. So we do both. Some are ad-driven, some are subscription-driven. In other parts of the world, it's a license agreement. So it really depends on the platform that you see us on and the type of Gusto content that you're consuming.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts, because of what you said earlier, that you had experience in scripted television, about doing a scripted series on Gusto at some point?
You know, never say no. I'm sitting in my office right now. I'm looking at the chalkboard behind me, and there's probably 24 different show ideas. I've been kicking around the idea of an interactive, scripted food drama called Legs Akimbo and Requiem for a Cheesecake. And I've been working on that on and off for 10 years. You know, we have so much programming to do and so many places to go with it. I'd never say no to anything.
Love that title, Requiem for a Cheesecake. That will definitely get people perked up.
Yeah, well, it should be fun. The whole thing about on-screen interactivity, of course, remains a challenge. It depends on how you go about doing it, but you know, the cost per minute is somewhat prohibitive, but we have some ideas and some things that we're going to play with. The nice thing about creating all of our own content is, you know, we have studio here that we can fool around in and try different things out and test things, and it's like a big sandbox here.
What do you think, Chris, about this whole television environment where we are seeing all sorts of new networks, in addition to Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and CBS All Access and the services that are coming up from Apple, Disney Plus, Warner Media, Walmart with interactive service Echo and Vudu becoming original programming oriented, that we're also seeing networks like yours that we're probably not going to be able to get on cable here in the United States, or even multicast channels, that we're seeing this explosion of new services happen through smart TV sets and products.
Man, oh man, there sure is a lot of choice out there now, isn't there? And, you know, as with anything else, it's cutting through and making people aware that you're there. But having said that, it's also striking out, figuring out what your programming genre is, figuring out what your messaging is, and sticking to it as a specialty channel and not trying to be everything to anyone, everyone, and sort of, you know, our business, as you know, Simon, can often have a bit of a herd mentality. When something works, everybody just piles on and does it until it's lying there, you know, and nobody's interested, and then they move on to the next it thing. I think really, really to cut through, particularly in a market as sophisticated as the United States, you really have to stick with your brand and continue pushing and pushing and pushing and staying true to the production philosophy and strategy that you had at launch and keeping on that way. It's a great time to be a consumer of content, not only in the number of different places that you can watch it, number of different screens, but just the sheer volume of content that you can pick out there. You know as well as I do what listening to panels and everything, there seems to be a general sense in our business that at some point there's going to be, you know, the universe apparently can only expand so far before it starts to contract back on itself. And a lot of people are saying that at some point that's going to happen, and who knows? Right now, I'm just really excited to be on, being on the forefront of this really quite revolutionary new expansion of television opportunities, and being able to reach markets that, like I said, 6 years ago we never would have thought we could do.
Well, before I leave you, Chris, two things to maybe keep in mind for you and our listeners. One is that a lot of these new players like Your Service and Afro Life TV and Passion Flix and Bizversity and the Fantasy Network and Dust, many of whom we featured on this program over the last year and a half, year and 18 months or so, are mostly independent players. People have not been in television, and they've definitely expanded the horizons of the medium. And secondly, before people think about, oh, things are going to contract, let's keep in mind that from the latest Nielsen stats, through smart TV sets and smart devices, people are watching 10 billion hours of content and apps a month. That's up from 8 billion last fall, and who knows where that's going to go. So somebody is watching, and it seems that it's across the board. So will it contract? We'll have to wait and see. But one thing is clear, everybody's going to have to publicize themselves. There's no question that promotion and publicity is going to be key in terms of what services make it ultimately with the public and what services don't. But I have a hunch that given the variety out there, maybe more services will. It may only be my thought right now, but and I think it's worth taking a look at. We'll see. If you want to know more about Gusto TV and where you can find it on smart TV sets and smart TV mics all over the place, two websites to take a look at. One is www.gustoworldwidemedia.com, and the other is www.gustotv.com. That's www.gustoworldwidemedia.com and www.gustotv.com. Chris Knight, President and Chief Executive of Gusto, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations on the early success of the venture in the United States and all over the world. It's been a pleasure to have you on, and continued success, hopefully, for many more years to come.
Thanks, Simon. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Chris, and have a great start to summer and a super weekend.
Thank you.
Chris Knight, President and Chief Executive of Gusto TV and parent Gusto World Media, joining us live from Ottawa, Canada. More Smart Media Televised is coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you are a role model, someone you can really look up to, get moved, get inspired by, how about David Goggins? He's someone that has endured a lot of hardships to become one of the great endurance athletes around. And now his experiences and what he's learned are in a brand new audio book called Can't Hurt Me, which he narrates. And you can get it as part of a trial subscription to Audible.com. One of three pre-order books coming your way. And all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised to get them under a one-month trial. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital and entertainment information and inspiration. They have over 198,000 titles to choose from, including a growing number under the Audible Originals catalog. It's everything from original radio material and audio material to one woman, one man shows, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater all over the place. And you can listen to any audiobook on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, and right now you can get a trio of free audiobooks, a one-month trial, and great customer service for the fine folks at Amazon.com, Audible's parent. So hear for yourself why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. For those audiobooks and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. When we come back, we are going live to Denver, Colorado, Series Fest, Year 5, already underway. We will have programming director Claire Taylor. She'll join us after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. www.blogtalkradioandspeaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget to catch a special edition of the January Jones Show this Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. Special weekend edition of the January Jones Show right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget Best BTR 24/7 anytime at youtube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this first day of summer 2019. Summer, I'm with you live from New York. 70 degrees, top of the hour. Sun is back out. Hopefully it will stay that way, but we understand it will be a terrific weekend, or so the forecasters say. We have another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead, so be part of the program. Interact with us. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. By name, three people in the chat room already. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. One of the great things about doing this program is, over the years, to showcase the rise of television festivals, events around the country where people who want to create new television series get the opportunity to produce pilots and have them seen by both the public and by people who can make it happen, namely everything from studios to programmers to independent production companies. One of the biggest is Series Fest. It started its fifth anniversary event earlier today in Denver, Colorado, and that's where we find, live, right in the thick of the action, Program Director Claire Taylor. Claire, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. How are things going in the first few hours of Series Fest?
It's pretty big and crazy over here. It's our biggest year yet, so we're really excited to check in. Our hundreds of guests coming in from not only around the U.S., but around the globe this year. We've got an incredible international selection joining us in Denver.
How many people are you expecting over the next 5 days?
We will most likely expect anywhere between 10 and 15,000 people, our biggest event, of course, being at Red Rocks Amphitheater on Monday, June 24th, a celebration of TV and music with the headliner Stevie Wonder. The venue holds about 9,000 people, so we'll just keep climbing our numbers from there.
You and Randy Kleiner, the co-founder and chief executive and other organizers, are calling this particular event the Year of Innovation. What makes it that way?
The Year of Innovation really speaks to the ways that these particular independent artists and studios are tackling the ever-evolving landscape of television. It's not just turning on the TV and flipping through the channels anymore. You have new platforms, digital and on demand, and then the way you tell your story, whether it's a digital short series, so your pilots are under 15 minutes, or full 60-minute dramas or comedies. We're really celebrating the way that these artists are getting creative with how they tell story in the episodic format, including a podcast focus this year.
Mm-hmm. I want to get to the podcast thing in a little bit. But first, as you know, we are in the midst, thanks to smart TV sets and smart devices, which we talked about with Chris Knight from Gusto TV in our first half hour, that are allowing all sorts of new services to get on the air. Plus, you have more programming than before from Netflix, from Hulu, from Amazon. And then the second half of this year, in early 2020, we're getting Apple TV Plus, we're getting Disney Plus, we're getting Vudu, with original programming from Walmart, maybe Echo as an interactive service, Warner Media, Comcast, NBC Universal, BET now with the service. What kind of attendance are you getting from people, particularly from the newer services that are coming on in the second half of this year and beyond, like Apple TV Plus, like Warner Media, and so on, who could greenlight some of these projects?
Yeah, they are coming to Series Fest this year. We have an incredible group of industry. We actually kick things off tonight with a special talk with Chief Content Officer of Netflix, Ted Sarandos, will be here this evening, having a conversation with Mike Fries from Liberty Global. And then we also have special industry guests from Ficto, All3Media. Ficto is a new digital platform. We will have some really innovative content from Powder Keg, which is Paul Feig's company that's focused on representing women in the LGBTQ community through their short-form content. So really, we have seen this spike in attendance not only from independent creators, but innovative studios and networks that are looking for the next big thing. It's really a very exciting year for us.
What is that digital platform you just talked about that's making its debut in attendance? What's it called?
It's actually called Ficto, F-I-C-T-O, and the co-founder, Mike Isola, will be here and is meeting a special group of curated independent creators and hoping to look for the next digital series to feature on the platform.
And is this the platform to be on smart TV sets and devices? And if so, when will it premiere?
It is actually already live, and you can see it on any devices, actually. I believe it's an app that you can download.
Why do you think Series Fest has grown so fast and has become not only widespread in terms of attendance, but more importantly, widespread in terms of what you're able to do? There's a lot of we're going to get to some of the projects that a couple of were announced last year that are now in full bloom. But it seems that to reach where you are 5 years in is a very big accomplishment.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that we've grown as quickly as we have because of the demand for episodic content through all of the mediums. And one thing I love about working in episodic content is what you get to do when you buy a show or when you write a series. It's a long-term commitment. It's a long relationship. It's not just a one-and-done, you know, we worked on this project one time together. If you commit to a full series, you're really committing to a creator, you're committing to a company, and those kind of relationships take time to grow, but they also have to kind of come together naturally, and I think that's what at Series Fest we provide is that space time, that opportunity to sit down and really get to know the person on the other end of the phone and break through those barriers that seem to be kind of happening in a lot of the larger markets. You know, folks don't know how to get an agent or where to find independent content. Just kind of that big question mark of how do we connect, even though in this age of technology it feels like we're connected all the time, there's still these barriers between us. And we really focus our mission on bringing together a very special community that's looking to tell stories long-term in long format.
You mentioned Ted Sarandos, the chief programmer at Netflix, will be among your first guests. What do you hope he will say about the opportunities in television, especially given the fact that Netflix has not only been able to make these long-term program development deals with the likes of Shonda Rhimes and Ryan Murphy, but also with new talents, more recently Janet Mock, the producer-director of Pose on FX?
I think that what I can hope to hear tonight from Ted, and I do believe that it is the spirit of Netflix, is again that like long-term relationship. And we're actually very lucky to have Shonda Land here on the ground with us this weekend as well. But I think what we see out of Netflix is that they are really embracing a lot of different ways to tell a story. There seems to be no right way to tell a story. And that's what we love in the spirit of Series Fest is as well. So I think that what I'm hoping to, and I'm sure we will hear more in detail between Ted and Mike this evening, is really the spirit of Netflix being more accessible than we maybe think that it is as independent creators, and really where, you know, they bite into the creative and what we look for in story and how they source new content.
Mm-hmm. By the way, what do you think about this big movement not just Netflix, but it's Hulu, it's Amazon, it's Warner Brothers, et cetera, to tie in both old and new talent in television to major production deals. In the last couple of days, I mentioned Janet Mock, but now we have John Wells, who made a huge deal, and he wants himself to become a mini-mogul. Mini sets will be the mill in television. And also, it looks like they'll house up J.J. Abrams and Bad Robot. And it seems that what both of those folks want to do is not just do their own shows, but have other writer-producers get their leg up in getting their creations on the air.
Yeah, we actually ran a special mentorship program called the Women Directing Mentorship with Shondaland this year, and we will be announcing the winner at the festival. And I think what's coming out of those kind of partnerships between Shondaland and Netflix are opportunities to grow initiatives to feature new creators so they can work with nonprofits like ourselves. And they're, you know, they want to bring new things to the table when they are creating at Netflix. And the way to do that is bridging the gap with festivals like ourselves and finding these unique opportunities. I do think we're going to see more and more. We also do a writing competition with Kira Sedgwick's company called Big Swing, and again, focused on looking for a female writer. And I think what is great about the way that things are evolving right now is that you can make your own content and there's somebody there that's going to champion it. And it's just all about making that first connection and applying yourself to different initiatives and writing competitions that are looking for creators like you.
We are live from Series Fest. First of 5 days in Denver, Colorado, already underway. Start this morning. We've got Claire Taylor, the filming director there. And if you have a question or comment for her, ring it in, 646-652-2906. We use our chat room, Simon Apple 0 for my name. We have another person who just came in the room. So if you want to get in the room, do so. Put your question or comment there or give us that call. This is Simon Appleman with you live from New York. This is Tomorrow Be Televised, third of three episodes we are doing today. Happy start of summer to you and all. Happy you're with us. We'll have three more episodes coming your way to wrap up June next week. And next Friday, among our guests, we'll speak to one of the top unique costume designers in the field of television. His name is Trace Field. Wait till you hear what she has been up to this last year or so. Trace Field, one of the top costume designers in television. She's among our guests next Friday, 3 to New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. How many pilots are in your independent competition this year?
We have 53 pilots in competition across the late night independent pilot and digital short series competition. And we are also featuring 7 special projects at our Pitch-a-thon. So it's a pretty big group this year. We're really, really excited, meeting a lot of creators face-to-face today. And it's just amazing to see these pilots that you normally see most likely on a digital platform or on your laptop up on the big screen.
Mm-hmm. Now, over the years, you have had some very interesting success stories. One of them, which we covered on this program, was a show called Up North, which was picked up recently by Bob and Allen at Entertainment Studios. Do we know what the status of that project is and where it's going to run, how Byron is going to run that show?
We do not know where it's going to run as of yet, but I know that Emil and the guys are hard at work in the writer's room. They were hoping to be here this season, but when you have a series to flesh out and Bibles and characters and all of the things that come with after writing and completing your pilot, it's hard to sneak away. So I know that I wish them all the luck, and I can't wait to get updates from them soon, and we miss them this year.
What are some of the other success stories in terms of pilots that have gone on to become series?
Gina Rodriguez actually picked up one of our series to be adapted into to English speaking. It's actually called Dr. Legal. It was a German series. We have a lot of success stories of independent creators coming here and getting representation from agents and managers. We have a series called Hug It Out, which won our Digital Shorts Award last year, and I know Kincaid is working with ISC as well as Bustle on her next series. And let's see, I feel like there's so many that are slipping my mind. You know, it's we've seen a lot of series go on to be picked up by Amazon, including season 2 winner Doomsday, created by Sonia O'Hara. And it's been a really interesting development as these years tick on. We see more and more coming out of our alumni. We see projects come back to the festival, new projects come back. We have some alumni featured this year in pilots like Kensington, The Happy, and Human Interest have all gone out from Series Fest, shot another pilot to feature, and you know, are continuing to create content and get their stories heard.
Yeah. Now this year, one of your pilots is already with a series deal. And it's a show, I think it's called All Hail Something, which was put together by Brick TV, the Brooklyn Cable Channel. Point of disclosure, we used to be simulcast on Brick TV, which, by the way, you can see their programming on YouTube, on their cable channel, on their channel there. And I understand that pilot has already gotten the commitment to become a series.
Yes, All Hail Death is featured this year in our independent pilot competition. The creator, Misha Calvert, is such an inspiration as an independent creator. I know she creates short form and long form pilots year round. I never meet Misha without her saying, "I've got this new project." So we're really, really excited for her, and to have Brick TV join us this year is a new and exciting update from us. And I believe that they will announce something around the plan for the series at this festival.
Claire, over a year ago, you announced a unique project with the independent filmmaker people here in New York, which has their own film and TV festival in September. And it's called Forward Impact. And the idea is to have up to 15 independently produced series financed, produced, and presented on the air. What is the status of that project?
We're featuring a lot of our Forward Impact creators here at the festival this year, including, I Adore Dolores is going to be featuring or debuting their pilot at Series Fest in our late night competition. The Fugitive Game is pitching in our pitch-a-thon, and we're really just working on creating that community that supports them year-round, touching base both at IFP and at Series Fest, and getting them in front of the people that are looking to take their projects to the next step.
Do we know if any of those projects are going to become a series anytime soon, let's say this fall or early 2020?
Maybe I'll have more answers for you after Series Fest.
All right, we'll definitely see. And we definitely are going to follow this project. And if any of them do become series and we know where they're going to go, we would definitely love to have the creators on the show. And incidentally, as we do with all the TV festivals we cover, whichever wins some of the awards that will be given out on the final night on June 26th, we will invite the best comedy, the best drama winner, et cetera, to come on this, the creators behind that project, to come on this program.
Fantastic. We're actually announcing our awards on June 25th this year. Our closing night presentation will announce not only our Storytellers Initiative winner with a live read of their script, but also we'll have all the awards announced on the Tuesday evening this year.
One of the things also that makes Series Fest interesting is he has some fascinating panels, as well as, you mentioned, the Red Rocks event, but you've also got some interesting screenings. For example, I think tonight you're going to showcase the brand-new Star series, The Rook.
Yes, we are, and we have the two creators as well as the three leads, Julie Richardson, Olivia Munn, and Emma Greenfield will all be here in person.
And what are some of the other upcoming TV shows that you'll be showcasing? I think you've got an NBC show coming out, the one with Jimmy Smith.
Yes, we have a special screening of NBC's Bluff City Law tomorrow evening, and Jimmy Smith, as well as seven other members of the cast, will be here. We're going to be doing a special screening of WeTV's Power and Influence, The Remarkable Rise of So-So Death. And that's a docuseries about Jermaine Dupri, and he will also be here in person. And then we have a special screening of Powder Keg's Fuse program, which, again, is Paul Feig's company, and will be featuring all six of the short-form pilots that were championed by Paul and the Powder Keg team and their creators here as well. And let's see, we also have our alumni returning this year, Stephen Coletti and James Lafferty, who created a project called Everyone is Doing Great, and they are going to do a workshop on crowdfunding as well as a special screening. And we've got about 14 panels in the lineup, so we're really excited this year.
Are there any topics that you're going to be covering for the first time, for example, like making interactive television or using artificial intelligence in some fashion in your program. Given the fact that smart TV sets and smart devices are now universal in terms of people using them, the amount of programming and content apps that they're watching every month is skyrocketing, and it looks like we are now finally in the era of interactive television.
We actually have 7 projects featured in our VR lounge this year, including one from NBC Universal and Sci-Fi called 1111, where you get to experience a series from different characters' point of view, where it's the last 11 minutes and 11 seconds before the island that you live on blows up. And actually, while the content only takes about 11 minutes and 11 seconds to get through, if you were to do the whole thing, it would take you 90 minutes to get through everything. So it's a really interesting way for our creators to experience something different, not just our creators, actually. Our VR lounge is open to the public. And we'll be running starting tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Mountain Standard. And it's a great way for us to feature new technologies and different companies, the Oculus headsets, the Quest headsets, and really clue in on what the next wave is in the future for storytelling.
How do you pick the shows that you screen, like The Rook from Starz or Bluff City Law from NBC? Is it something about the show? Is it something about the fact you get this programmer or production company involved? What's the factors that determine what new series you will series on broadcast or cable or smart TV distribution or Netflix or Amazon that you will showcase?
We definitely look for networks and studios to feature that are pushing those boundaries. Again, everything that we're featuring this year is really that in that spirit of innovation. And we have an incredibly supportive group of industry and board members that have been working in the television space for a while and want to, re-energize a lot of their relationships by offering an opportunity to come to Series Fest and introduce these companies that maybe work in more of a standard, I put air quotes around standard, way of developing TV and, again, break that glass ceiling and shatter the boundaries between us and create something new. We're really, really lucky to have an incredibly supportive community that believes in us, and we program a lot from that community.
Where do you and Randy and everybody involved want to take Series Fest in the next 5 years? You're already involved with Independent Filmmaker Project. Do you want to be involved with more television festivals around the country? Do you want to launch new specific campaigns? Let's say maybe a campaign to try to develop programs involving the disabled, both in front and behind the camera, or other types of ventures. Where do you see it going?
Yeah, actually, in the past year, Series Fest has established our nonprofit status. So we have year-round initiatives championing artists, whether it's our Featuring Women initiatives, our Featuring Students initiative, and our Featuring Creators initiative, where we do things like script writing competitions and pilot programs from elementary school, high school, and through college. We really want to establish ourselves here in Denver as a tastemaker and a trendsetter, and know that this is a place to go to get your story heard, but also that we're a big part of the Denver community as well. So as we move into nonprofit, we want to keep growing those kind of things and expand year-round, including expansions on our panel series. We are doing a panel focused on identity inclusion for the LGBTQ community in television. Last year, we did a panel focused on people with disabilities, and we'd love to take these panel ideas. They're going to be great, very rich, one-hour conversations at the festival and have them become part of our voice year-round.
We have one more news note that I want to make sure that Clara and all of you have the opportunity to hear, and for that, we want to thank The Wrap, which had this item in their website today, and here it is. 14 months ago, New York University set up an episodic development studio to generate new TV series creators. 11 creators or creator teams received fellowship grants to wrap up ideas, with Independent and the OBD Pictures agreeing to place the most promising content on various programming ventures. Earlier today, OBD selected 5 of the 11 projects to shop around. The Witch of Lime Street, Everything's Rosie, Tierra Pot, No Name for Tennessee, which, by the way, deals with the relationship of Tennessee Williams, the playwright, and his husband, and a hashtag the resistance.
Okay.
The 11 contenders were chosen from hundreds of entries submitted by NYU students and alumni. We are going to try to get in touch with the OBB people, and just so you know, we will try to see if we can maybe get both the people at OBB and one of the NYU projects that was selected to become a series on a future episode of this program. But Claire just goes to show you this festival revolution, and more products like this is an example where Series Fest might be going.
Yeah, and we're actually really proud to know the folks over at OBB. Miranda Sherman is a festival family, and we were just with her at South by Southwest. She was featured on our panel in Austin, pitching and marketing your series. We were actually part of the pitch presentation jury in New York at the NYU campus for all of the projects that were selected. So congratulations to everyone, and congratulations to OBB.
And thank you to the RAP, by the way, for covering that story over this morning. That's how we were able to get that news note. And again, we would love to have Miranda on the program. We would love to have some OBB on the show, and also one of the pilots that's going to be trying to come a series to this project. And I hope that, by the way, we'll find out whether this is going to be repeated again for 2020. Series Fest, day one, going on as we speak in Denver, Colorado. The festival runs through June 26th. If you're in the Denver area, get out there and see it, support it. It's really outstanding. A lot of great speakers, a lot of great panels, a lot of great pilots deserving of your support, and a lot of special events like the Red Rocks event as well. For more details about the program online, www.seriesfest.com. That's www.seriesfest.com. And once again, as in the case with the festivals we cover, as soon as we find out who wins some of the major awards on June 26th, we will invite them to come on this program, the series creators on this program next month. Claire Taylor, Program Director at Series Fest, thank you again for coming on. Give our best to Randy Klein and everybody involved. Happy 5th anniversary, and have a great start to summer with your festival.
Thank you so much, and thank you for taking the time to chat with us and supporting Series Fest, and we're looking forward to sending some award winners your way soon.
We would love it. We look forward to it. Thanks again, Claire. Best to Randy and everybody. Take care. Have a great, great weekend and a wonderful start to summer.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that will do it for tomorrow's Telelive. By the way, coming up on Monday, we will have great, great group of people from Dark Food on Hulu. We'll have Marita Polgut, the executive producer. We'll have Virginia Julian from Cobblecord. And we'll have Jamie Gittins from New York Woodby Series Ambition. And we'll have a new classic trivia question of the week as well. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio speaker and iHeartRadio. Our production associate is ETR's Candace Williams. And he shows Blog Talk Radio's general manager with Jay Sauber, executive content producer. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. So Bobby Telelive is brought today by Audible.com, an Amazon company and proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For tomorrow's Telelive, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for having a great start to your summer and a wonderful first summer weekend of 2019. We're back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio speaker on the Air Radio Podcast Network. No matter how your first week of summer goes, please make it safe and make it great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.